and his little girl and niece. So we are thankful to have him with us today. This morning, I won't hold you too long, but I do want to read from the book of Deuteronomy. Your Bible's the book of Deuteronomy, and it's going to be chapter 11, verses 8 through 15. Book of Deuteronomy, that's in the Old Testament. Funny sounding word. Close to the front of the Bibles. Or if you're Googling, it's D-E-U-T, not D-U-T. Deuteronomy 11. Deuteronomy 11. I'm going to read verses 8 through 15. And it reads as thus. Observe, therefore, all the commands I am giving you today, so that you may have the strength to go in and take over the land that you are crossing the Jordan to possess, and so that you may live long in the land the Lord swore to your ancestors to give to them and their descendants, a land flowing with milk and honey. The land you are entering to take over is not like the land of Egypt, from which you have come, where you planted your seed and irrigated it by foot as in a vegetable garden. But the land you are crossing the Jordan to take possession of is a land of mountains and valleys that drinks rain from heaven. It is a land the Lord your God cares for. The eyes of the Lord your God are continually on it from the beginning of the year to its end. So if you faithfully obey the commands I am giving you today, to love the Lord your God and to serve him with all your heart and with all your soul, then I will send rain on your land in its season, both autumn and spring rain, so that you may gather in your grain, new wine, and olive oil. I will provide grass in the fields for your cattle, and you will eat and be satisfied. Verse 11 says, but the land you are crossing the Jordan to take possession of is a land of mountains and valleys that drinks rain from heaven. It is a land the Lord your God cares for. The eyes of the Lord your God are continually on it from the beginning of the year to its end. Father God, we come to you right now looking for a word, asking to receive a message that will help edify this body of Christ. Lord, we ask that you clear our minds, clear our hearts, and prepare the way to receive what it is you have for each and every one of us. Lord, I ask that you consecrate me now by the power of your grace so divine. Let my soul look up with a steadfast hope. And let my will be lost in thine. It's in the wonderful and matchless name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Amen. God is watching. God is watching. This past week was Yom Kippur, Tuesday sundown till Wednesday sundown. And Yom Kippur is a Jewish holiday, one of the high holidays, perhaps the highest. And it's a time of atonement. So it's a time where children of Israel have to come to God and repent. Say, we're sorry for being who we are. Continually messing up and falling short. But it's also a time of fasting. It's one of the strictest of the high holidays. So you're not allowed to drink or eat or bathe or have anything that would make you feel good, basically, what it comes down to. And during that time, it's designed that way so that we can easily differentiate between the things that give us pleasure and the things that don't. To feel uncomfortable, to feel uneasy, to feel kind of shaky and weak. And God wants us in that place. Why? Why would God want us there? Because the flesh is connected to the spirit. So the idea is, if the flesh is depleted and weak, then the spirit will also feel this unshakiness, this weakness. And in that state of weakness is where God can easily, more easily communicate to us. Because we're not doing so great. When we're doing good, God is good. But when we're not doing so good, is God still good? He's still watching. He's still watching. And so today I want to use the verses to kind of look at how, if God is watching and watching all the time, then how is it that God is moving us, and what is it that God wants from us? Broad subject, I understand. But I'm going to narrow it down to the idea to where each of us examines our own self to atone, if you will, with God and saying, you know what, maybe I'm not where you want me to be, but I know you're pulling me to get there. So what is it that I can do to help atone myself so I can move from wherever it is I am into this place that you have already set for me to be? And so I want to look at three ways we can do that. Three things we can do. We have to realize the opportunity. We have to be obedient. And finally, we have to receive the overflow. There's an opportunity, obedience, and an overflow. See, we look at that scripture, a lot of us are familiar with it, or at least familiar with the story behind it in context. You have the children of Israel getting ready to cross over into the promised land that God is going to give to them. Sounds like a great time. They should be excited. God says, I'm going to give you this land, and I'm going to give you the strength to go into the land, to take over the land, so that you can cross over the river Jordan. So not only has God prepared a way for them, he's given them the strength to do it. He's given them his promise. This is what I'm going to do for you. All that sounds simple and easy, but as we know how the story goes, it wasn't that simple and it wasn't that easy. Why? Well, because they didn't all believe. And that's a lot of times where we find ourselves. God has prepared a way. There's something new right there. Something we can see, something tangible, or maybe something we feel. But we can't step in to the opportunity. Something seemingly holds us back. Well, if we look at this scripture, the children of Israel were going through the same thing. They were feeling a little hesitant. Why? Because they didn't understand what was new. They thought maybe Egypt is actually better than what God is going to give us. And why is that? Because it was what they were used to. And a lot of times we get so used to doing things a certain way. It seems okay. It's not really hurting anybody. But maybe that old way of thinking, that old way of doing, is holding you back from what God is trying to bring you through to crossing over that river. See, and in crossing over, you can't always take all the stuff you had before you got to the river. You have to shed some things off. Everything can't make it. Kind of like buying a new house, right? You're going to get into a new house. Maybe you're not going to take everything from the old house. You're going to put some stuff away, throw some things out. Everything can't go because this is a new place. We want to start fresh with new things. And so we leave some things behind. And in our lives, we have to be able to have the strength to leave some things behind. You can't take everything with you where God is trying to take you. Because his requirement of you means that he can't use your old way of doing things. He's saying, I have no use for you doing that thing. Maybe that worked for you then. Maybe it was okay. But if you bring that into my space, I can't have that, because that old way is going to hold you back from what I'm trying to do. And what God's trying to do is bring something new out of you. And for something new to come, something old has to be put away. It's like new growth. You have to trim away the old so that the new can come forth and have room to grow, room to have to spread its wings and to have its say. So as you reflect over your life right now, as you're thinking about the old ways or some habits maybe you would like to give up, have clear hindsight. Don't lie to yourself. Be truthful with what you see, with what you know. And then have the courage to ask God to give you the strength to put the old behind. Because that's how it happens. It's not just on you. If you could do it by yourself, you would have done it. You would have done it a long time ago. But God wants you to rely on him. He wanted the children of Israel to learn how to rely on him. That's why he requires our obedience, to step into something new, to give it the space that he is asking. He needs us to obey him first. He says to them, the land the Lord swore to your ancestors to give to them and their descendants. See, God made a promise to them. He swore to them a land. He wasn't going to break that promise, but he also wasn't going to let them mess up his new place. I'm not going to let you bring your old stuff into my nice new place. I promised to your ancestors that I would give it to you, and I'm going to give it to you. But before I can do that, I need you to obey my commands. Now, his commands were simple. I want you to love me. Love me with all your heart and all your mind. And that's his command to us. He's just asking us to love him, to put away those things that stand between us and our relationship with him. That's the obedience. And obedience means discipline. Discipline means routine. That means we don't do it one time in our lives and feel good. We don't do it every high holiday and feel great. We do it every single day. When we don't feel like doing it, we do it. When we don't want to do it, we do it. We invite him in constantly. So I'm always talking about, what do you do the first thing in the morning? When you first wake up, what do you do? What hits our minds? The thoughts of the day. What we have to get done. Turn off the alarm clock. Oh, here come the kids. Oh, I gotta do that. That's the first thing. But let's try not to make that the first thing. Let's give him that space somewhere in there. Before you go to bed, as soon as you wake up, yes. As simple as say, thank you. Yes. But mean it. Feel it. I'm awake. I'm alive. I get another chance to be the best me today. So what's going to stand in my way? I love you, Lord. I thank you for this day. I thank you for giving me breath, ability, opportunity. I'm going to be obedient to your love, and I'm going to love those around me. Come here, kids. Let's go. Let's get this day going. I'm sorry. I had to go. That went personal for a second. That was my morning just yesterday. But we have to make it real for ourselves. It isn't something to pretend with. It's not something to just act out. It has to be real inside of us, because the pain is real. Our struggles are real. And so our love and our obedience to our God has to be more real. than what we're going through. So he's calling for our obedience. He's saying it's not like Egypt with milk and honey, where you had to go tend the garden. Or rather, it's not like Egypt where you had to tend the garden for vegetables. But it's different than that. In this, he's saying there's high mountains and there's low valleys. And in that, I'm going to pour down my rain. Now, if you can visualize that for a second. I love to garden. I have my little garden out back. And I tend to it. And it's work. Seasonal work, but I enjoy it. And so he's saying, it's not like that garden where you have to irrigate it, tend to it, make sure each season it's ready and prepped. He's saying it's not that. In this place, I've already made these huge mountains and these low valleys. And so what you have to do now is be a good steward. And when the rain comes, gather the rain. When the grain grows, gather the grain. When the grapevines are ripe, gather the grapes. So he's saying, now I want you to be mindful of me. I don't want you to just tend this soil and labor. I want you to watch. I want you to see when I'm moving. And when I'm moving, I want you to gather. It's your time. It's harvest. It's your season. It's time for you to go out and show the world what I've done. It's a different kind of thing. It's not just about us nose to the grind, but it's about us being aware. What are you doing, Lord? How are you moving in my life? Let me be mindful and see, and when I see it, let me do something about it. There's a difference. But that's what he's called us to. We are his people. You know, a lot of times I think we forget that. We think, oh, you know, I had this moment. I accepted Christ as my Savior and I believe in Jesus. But understand that he chose you. You didn't choose him. He put that desire in your heart. He wooed you to him. And he'll keep on wooing you until he has you fully. We are his chosen people. And just like these children, we have a promised land. You are crossing your river to a new life. We are new creations in a new promised land. But in that land, in this thinking, we have to operate like he's asking us to love him, to love others. Why? Because with that obedience, and understanding that, then we can handle what he's going to give us. We can handle his overflow. See, he doesn't want us always that he's just having to give it to us and explain it to us. He wants us to be the good steward over what he's going to give us. Or he's not going to give it to us. He's not going to give you something to mess up. You may want it. Lord, oh, I want this new job. I really do. Please, please, please let me have this new job. But he knows you. And he knows where you really are. And he knows that you're not ready for that job. That if you got in there, whatever's going to happen, whatever traits you're still holding on to, whatever those maybe bad habits you have, is eventually going to lead to you not succeeding in that place. So he's not going to place you there. But when we begin to realize, when we're aware of what he's doing, we see how he's moving, and we're honest in our hindsight, honest in our reflection of ourselves, and we say, you know what, I am going to give this up. Amen. I am going to lay these things down, and I'm going to ask you daily to come into my life and give me the strength to do it. Then, when he opens up that door and we step through it, we'll be able to handle the overflow, the responsibility, because that's what it is. Too much is given, much is expected. So we have a great responsibility. But he's not going to ruin you with your responsibility. You know, something we heard a whole lot when we had Eliana, because she's a special needs child, And people would look at us and say, you know, wow, you know, that's a lot. And then they would always say on cue, well, God doesn't give you more than you can handle. Thank you for coming out. You want to handle some of this? Since we all are part of this body of Christ. But I understand the intention. But it is true, right? We are blessed to have Eliana. She's changed our lives in ways we would have never imagined. And so we had to step into that, knowing that it was a challenge we didn't understand. But I know I knew that I couldn't bring my old self, some of my old self, into the situation. I couldn't be impatient anymore. I wasn't going to be able to have things done the way I wanted done, when I wanted done. I couldn't be strict and stern. I couldn't just have a big daddy voice and expect things to happen. None of that works. She's going to do what she's going to do. So who do I have to be? I have to just be loving. I have to just hold her. I have to just be there and let her do what she's going to do, but know that I'm there to protect her. Simple things. And that's kind of where God wants us. He wants the simple things. He wants you to let go of feeling the need to have things your way and just say, okay, Lord, I'm just going to give my love to this situation. You have your way. Maybe Ezekiel understood this when he said, I will make them and the places around my hill a blessing. I will call showers to come down in its season. Showers of blessing. And then they will know that I am the Lord. What does he have to do to show you he's your Lord? Let's atone today. As the band comes forward, I challenge each of us in examining our lives, understanding that God has chosen us. It wasn't a mistake, it wasn't by chance, but God called us for a purpose, his purpose. And so let us look to that. Putting away those old things, being honest with ourselves about those things, praying for the courage to step into what God has for us anew. If there is one who doesn't know that Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior, I invite you to come now and receive him. Receive a new life. Maybe you're looking for a church home. I invite you to join this station of Zion. Begin your new life, your new walk.